If there's one place that I like to go for vacation more than any other, it's probably Colorado. And Elizabeth and I are planning to go to Colorado in August. I'm looking forward to being at 11,000 feet elevation, where it's cooler and crisper that time of year. But I'm glad that I wasn't there last September. You may remember on September 9, 2013, that a slow-moving cold front collided with a warm front to the south, and these torrential rains resulted, and the great flood of Colorado 2013 took place. The creeks and the rivers swelled, and the water came rushing. And it did what it always does. It flowed downhill as fast as gravity could take it. Now, Nina Larson was at her home in Boulder, Colorado, and Hayden were in the house with her. She looked out the window, and she saw the water start rushing under the tires of her car, parked in front of her home. Within 2 minutes, the water reached the top of her car. Within 3 minutes, she watched her 5,000-pound Dodge Durango being taken down the road by those rushing waters. More than 11,000 people had to be evacuated during this catastrophe. More than 1,700 had to be rescued, along with 300 pets. 19,000 homes were damaged. Over 1,500 homes were completely destroyed. Raw sewage entered into the waterways. 5,220 gallons of crude oil spilled into the rivers. 30 highway bridges were destroyed. Are you grasping this? Miles of railroad tracks were washed away. Many lives were lost. Countless people were injured. It was horrific. Men and women with their children and their pets and their belongings clamored to try to get to higher ground for safety. And that's just part of the story of one flood event in history, an event that totally and completely and radically changed the lives of those people forever. Floods will continue to come, and they may come in your life. Are you prepared? How will you react if the floods come? If you survive, how will you cope with the catastrophic changes that it will bring on you? When the floods come, will you seek higher ground? Make no mistake, our lives are flooded. You know this. Our lives are flooded with temptation. Our lives are flooded with anger. Our lives are flooded with bills that sometimes we can't pay. Our lives are flooded with emotions when we are hurt, when we're angry. Your lives are flooded with the demands that people place on you. Your lives are flooded with tears whenever you lose a loved one or you say goodbye to someone. Floods will come. Will you seek higher ground? Now, God not only sent the great flood that we read about in the Bible during the days of Noah, but God promised another type of flood that is yet to come. Listen to what God said about our wickedness in Job chapter 20, verse 27. It says, the heavens will expose his guilt. The earth will rise up against him. A flood will carry off his house. Rushing waters on the day of God's wrath. That's the day of judgment. God promises that the day of judgment is going to come on everybody like a flood. Are you prepared? Psalm 88 also talks about flood. It equates God's wrath to the flood. And this is an incredible psalm because it's a prophetic psalm. It prophesies what happened to Jesus Christ after he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. We don't read about it in the scriptures. The historians tell us what happened to the prisoners at that particular time of the feast. They were held in a pit in the basement of the house of Caiaphas, the chief priest, awaiting trial. And those of you who were with me at the Holy Land, you know that we went into that pit and we read Psalm 88. Listen to just two of the verses from Psalm 88, verses 16 and 17. Imagine Jesus Christ saying these words. Your wrath has swept over me. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever have so many things flooding your life that you feel like God's wrath is sweeping over you? Listen more. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. Some of us may experience life-changing floods in this life. Some of us, praise God, may be spared from life-changing, catastrophic floods in this life. But none of us will escape the flood of the Day of Judgment. That flood will come. Are you ready? When it comes, will you seek higher ground? Jesus reminded us about this in Matthew. Listen to what he said in chapter 24. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days of Noah, before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus also warned about floods in one of his parables. He said, don't build your house on sand. Build your house on a solid rock, because the flood waters are going to come. And if you build your house, you know that parable. And the solid rock that he was talking about was the Word of God. Build your life on the solid rock of the Word of God. And the Word of God is Jesus Christ himself also. It was a Sunday night. It was in southern Ohio. There was a sudden flood that came that Sunday night, and it happened to come and swept through a small town as the Sunday evening worship services were concluding and people were walking home. Yes, people still go to Sunday night worship services in some parts of the country, especially in small towns. And the people were walking home. It was dark. The electricity went out. No one could see anything. It was terrifying. There were no street lights. They could hear this rushing water. People became separated from one another, and many of them died. There was one little girl who grasped her father's hand for protection, and her story captured the hearts of many, many people. As she was holding his hand, the waters pulled them apart, and their hands separated, and she was swept from her father and he from her, and she cried, Daddy, Daddy, and he was crying her name over and over in the darkness, and he had just about lost all hopes when he felt her little hand grasp his hand. Now the next day, the newspaper reporters talked to her about this whole episode of her life. They said, can you describe the moment? And she said, I heard Daddy calling, come this way! I'm here! And the reporter said, but how did you know it was your father? And she could hardly believe the question. She said, how did I know? I think I know my father's voice. I've spent a lot of time with him. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. When the floods come, brothers and sisters, will you know his voice? Will you know his voice? The Word of God, that's higher ground. The voice of Jesus Christ, our shepherd, that's higher ground. When the floods come, will you seek higher ground? The answer is no. Unless You know where to find it. Unless you've already been there. You know the way, even in the darkness. You know how to get there. Before the flood, have you visited higher ground? Are you ready? When the sun is shining, are you prepared? Sometimes floods produce good things. Take, for instance, cranberries. I like cranberries. I like to look at them. I think they're pretty. I like to eat them. I like to drink their juice. I had it this morning, right here. In fact, we all did. I like cranberries. Do you know how cranberries are harvested? When they're ripe, they flood the cranberry bog with water. And the cranberries break off of the bushes and they float to the top of the water. That explains the commercial, right? That explains the commercial. Okay, I saw Judy looking. So sometimes a flood produces good fruit in us as well. Now, when the reporters interviewed the survivors of the Great Colorado Flood of 2013, many of them said what countless people say after similar disasters. They said it brought out the best in people. Neighbors helped neighbors. It caused the cranberries to float to the earth. They said people that they never spoke to or never spoke to them pitched in to dig out the mud and the sewage from their basements. Strangers didn't just send help through the Red Cross or other caring organizations. They actually drove there and they flew there and they helped them with clothing and food and money and medicine and encouragement. But I can tell you what happened next. What happened next is illustrated in this story. There was a great flood in India. A valley was filled with deep water, and thousands of people died in this flood. There was only one hill that was above the waterline, and all who survived had to get to that hill. Some people got there, grateful for their lives, as they saw bodies and cattle floating in the water. But then they looked out on the water in utter horror because swimming to the top of that hill was a large Bengal tiger with a cub in its mouth. And they were struck with horror. They had no place to go. What was going to happen? The tiger came up on the land. And she dropped her cub onto the ground. And then she lay down peacefully beside her. And everyone relaxed. And they watched in amazement. And then a British officer stepped from the group. And he came up to the tiger and approached her slowly, slowly. She didn't move. And then he took his revolver from his waist and he shot her dead. The people were horror-struck. They started screaming at him, "What have you done? What have you done?" He said, "Fear changed her natural behavior, but the water has already started to recede. And when the water recedes, her natural behavior will return." That's what happened in Colorado. That's what happened after 9/11. That's what happens after every war. People return to their true nature. They seek lower ground. The Word of God and the voice of our Shepherd Jesus Christ, that's our higher ground. If you seek Him, and if you find Him, it will change your natural behavior. But when the flood is over, you will probably revert to your old nature. It may take another flood to bring out the cranberry in you. God forbid. Or, here's some good news. You may decide to stay on the higher ground. You may decide to stay in the Word of God. You may decide to stay close to the shepherd after the flood. In the 19th century, there was a spiritual revival in America that became known as the Holiness Movement. It started in the Methodist denomination. Can you imagine that? Started in the Methodist denomination, and it spread all over the world, and it was characterized by charismatic worship. Christians began gathering at special worship services, revival events, and they called them camp meetings. Anybody here remember camp meetings? Okay. I'm much too young to remember camp meetings.
I was born a Methodist.
You were born a Methodist. Well, you've seen the light. I'm good for you. The very first holiness camp meeting took place in 1867 in Vineland, New Jersey, which is only about 2 hours from where we are right now. And 10,000 people attended. They decided they wanted to have another camp meeting, another revival meeting, and so they got together the following year in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, which is in Lancaster County, which is less than 2 hours from here, and 25,000 people attended. That movement kept growing and spreading, and in fact, it became global. Interestingly, over in Great Britain, they called it the Higher Life Movement. I like that. There were many, many wonderful hymns that were written during this time in our history. And one of those was written by Jonathan Oatman and Charles Gabriel in 1898, and its title is Higher Ground. It was reported in the newspapers that whenever this particular hymn was sung at the camp meeting, the people would always shout, "Glory, hallelujah!" And they shouted, "Glory, hallelujah!" far more when they sang that hymn than any other hymn. Now, the text was partially inspired by the Bible. It was partially inspired by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, verse 14, as rendered in the King James Version.
Amen.
Remember this. Write it down. I'll use King James.
You're down for a year.
Okay. Deal. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, here is what that hymn says. And brothers and sisters, you're going to sing it in a few minutes. Here's what the hymn says. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where those abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still, I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Glory, hallelujah! Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Now, it doesn't say, Lord, help me escape this flood. Help me get out of here. No, it says, plant me there that I may dwell there, that I may be rooted there, that I may live there, that I may be married to your word, married to you, Lord Jesus Christ. With that in mind, listen to Psalm 124. Let Israel say, let all believers say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now this, from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? This is one of your favorite Psalms, aren't they, right?
Yeah.
One of my favorite. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Brothers and sisters, we need higher ground, and God, the maker, provides it. Glory, hallelujah. Now, is that the conclusion of this sermon or the beginning of this sermon? The answer is both. You see, I hope that I've achieved what I set out to do today. I think God led me to share this message with you, but when I finished preparing this message, I started thinking about all of the amazing people and stories in the Bible that took place on higher ground, on mountains, on hills in the Bible. And so today is the beginning of a new sermon series that I'm calling Higher Ground. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. In the coming weeks, we're going to talk about some of these biblical high places, such as the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Transfiguration, the Mount of Temptation, the Mount Sinai, Mount Carmel, Mount Gilboa, Mount Zion, Mount Moriah, Mount Tabor, and more. And my hope is that we will be able to embrace whatever life lessons God wants us to embrace as we also pray, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are above all the floods of life. We thank you that you are sufficient for every need we have when we are flooded by our enemy. And I pray, God, that all of us together, as covenant fellowship, as individuals, as brothers and sisters, will focus on your word and your voice, the higher ground that you give to us, that we may be ready for any flood you may bring. Because of Jesus, and in his name I pray, amen.